In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child.
While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger."
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors."
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them.
Merry Christmas, church.
Merry Christmas.
I want to take a moment to welcome you to First United Methodist Church of Austin. My name is Taylor First. My pronouns are she and her. I have the honor to serve as the senior pastor of this vibrant community, this body of people who are on the journey of faith together. We are people who are trying to integrate our spiritual lives with the rest of our lives and learning to live from that spiritual core of ourselves that is deeply connected to God and to others, and opening ourselves up to the love that changes us and that we believe changes the world. And so being here, whether it's just tonight that you're here or if you're here all the time, being here is about letting ourselves get swept up in that love. And I hope that in some way, even in a small way, that your experience tonight is one of getting swept up in the love of God as we worship. I hope that you encounter love incarnate tonight, and I hope that you find yourself wanting more of that. It's important to me to say out loud that you are welcome here. Whoever you are, however you identify yourself, whatever you believe or struggle to believe, whoever you love, whoever you vote for, you are first and foremost a beloved child of God on a journey to God, with God, and I am glad that that journey has led you here tonight. We want to connect with you and to help you find what you're looking for, and so I want to encourage you to use the QR codes that are on the front of the newsletter that was tucked into your bulletin. Those may not work in the low lighting. We've kind of realized that. And so we've tucked some extra ones into the pews in front of you. There's a few of them along the way. And if you'll use those to sign in, let us know that you're worshiping with us tonight. If you prefer, there's also a paper card if you like to just the feel of a pen in your hand. You're welcome to use that as well. In that newsletter, you'll find information about opportunities to grow in faith and grow in community here at First Church, from our thriving children's and youth ministries to small groups for adults of all ages, to opportunities to serve and befriend our neighbors who are experiencing homelessness around us, places to to learn and to grow in the work of justice. Y'all, we don't like to just play church here. We believe that these are transformative experiences. And so I hope that you will take a look at those and listen for what stirs the spirit within you and then be courageous and take a step in that direction. Most of all, though, for tonight, I'm grateful that you're here and that you are a part of this sort of little holy pocket of time that we share together. Now, I recognize that it may not really feel holy. This is a tricky day, isn't it? Some of you have already had fights with one another today. And if you haven't, then there's still time, right? It's a tricky season. We think that it's supposed to go a certain way, but it rarely does. We think that we should feel a certain way, full of warmth and joy and wonder and togetherness. But that pressure sometimes just highlights how lonely and fearful or tired or just empty we really are. A couple of weeks ago, I was on my usual early morning walk before the sun comes up, and I came across this house that so perfectly depicted the experience of December. I thought, you may not be able to see it very well, but it's supposed to say joy, but it just says oy. And tucked into the O there is the Holy Family. You know, sometimes things are tough. Whether it's a day or a season, sometimes we have a tough hand dealt to us. From little stuff like when you get to work or school and you've left your computer or something else that you need at home, and so that day you get to fight the traffic three different directions. To the big stuff like divorce or diagnosis or death. Sometimes life is just more oy than joy. We have a phrase in our culture that we use for times like that. We say to one another, you got this. You got this. It's an encouragement. It's meant to be a supportive gesture, like it's a pat on the back, right? A vote of confidence. You've got this. I was talking last week with a teacher who serves one of the schools in our district that will be closing at the end of this school year. And she said that she's been hearing that phrase a lot, you've got this. She, along with several others at that school, planned to take a position at another school that is on a turnaround plan. And so she and her colleagues are feeling the pressure of stepping into a new setting and all of the unknowns of that, and the responsibility of bringing a school with failing grades into a better position. And again in her conversations, she hears her colleagues use that phrase, you got this, we got this. And she said to me, I keep wondering, what if we don't got this? It's a real question. The writer Judith Newman wrote in an article about a friend who had posted on Facebook that after years of struggle against two different kinds of cancer, she was entering hospice care. And the heartbreaking news, of course, was met with this outpouring of love and support, comments from friends from so long ago, but there were a number of messages that repeated that same sentiment. You got this. And Newman wondered, she got what? Congratulations, you're gonna rock death? What does that even mean in a situation like that? The truth is, sometimes you don't got this. I wonder if somebody might have said this to Mary when she was 39 weeks pregnant with the Son of God and bumping along on the back of a donkey on her way to Bethlehem. You got this, Mary. You're going to rock this. It's going to be great. All throughout this Advent season, we have been reading the stories that lead up to this Christmas story, and we've been paying attention to the angels, these creatures that are bursting into the ordinary world from some heavenly realm And we've been listening to the outrageous, audacious messages that they have been bringing from God to regular people like Joseph and Zechariah and Mary and the shepherds. Tonight, though, I want you to notice the moment when the angels are no longer speaking to the people in the story. I want you to notice the moment. It's in Luke 2, chapter 2, verse 13, when it is no longer one angel speaking to a human audience, as it almost always is, but instead there is a multitude of angels, a multitude of the heavenly host, and their voices are not directed at the people, but rather at the very God who sent them. And what they have to say to God is, "Glory, Gloria, glory to God in the highest heaven." Instead of an audacious message from heaven to earth, these angels have reversed the script. And from earth, they shout and they sing to God in heaven, "You've got this, God." And because we get to overhear their song, we get brought in on the best news of the night, that God's got this. That somehow in this unceremonious birth with this poor, illegitimate family, in this out-of-the-way corner of an oppressed land, God is turning the tide of all history. God is rewriting all of our stories. That means that you don't got it. And that's okay, because you and I and this whole wide broken world are held in the light of the one who does. It means that you are not the hope of the world, and you don't have to be, because God's got this. Despite all appearances and all assumptions, this holy child of Bethlehem is the one in whom our hurts find healing. All of our despairs are met with hope. All of our deaths are answered with resurrection. God has come. God is here, and God's got this. God's got us. The beginning of the Gospel of John speaks about the coming of Christ in a really different way. And one of the lines in there says, "What has come into being was life, and the life was the light of all people." Someone once said that light does not wait for the darkness to leave. No, instead, light enters into it, into the darkness. That's the way it works with God, friends. What the angels proclaimed on that dark night is that the light has come, that it has entered into our world and our lives. It has come to us. God has come crashing into this world, not with a battle cry, but with an infant's cry. Heaven has come to earth, not like a ball of fire, but like a single solitary candle, a light that shines in the darkness. And we get to be receivers and bearers of that light. Receivers and bearers of love and hope that God brings into this world this night. This is what we are here to do today, tonight. To receive the light and to raise it in the darkness and to sing, "Gloria, you've got this, God." Even in the darkest night, your light still shines. Even in our darkest days, your light persists, and the darkness will not overcome it. God's got this, friends. Tonight, may you receive that hope and bear it out into the world. Amen.